My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, children of our resurrected Lord, earlier in the week, a container ship hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, causing that bridge to collapse. You can go online today and you can pull up a picture and it'll show you the condition of that bridge with the container ship sitting underneath it. You can go online today and there was actually a bridge cam that was on the bridge and you can see the ship as it loses power and then as it regains power and loses power again. And you can watch the entire accident unfold with your own eyes. You can look and you can see the reality of what happens. You can see it's a terrible accident. A few hours after that accident happens, you could also go online and you could start to watch as people took what you could clearly see and as they tried to change what was actually being said about it. And they were trying to change the reality of what actually happened. And so you can listen to armchair engineers who sit there and who say that there had to be some sort of sabotage on the bridge. The bridge should be able to withstand that, and someone else was at work. Or you can listen to an armchair sailor sit there, and they'll talk about the redundancies that should have been on that ship, and the ship should have been able to steer out of the way, even with all the problems it was having. Even though the reality of that situation can be seen, and you can watch it again and again and again, there are still people out there that are trying to take that situation, they're trying to twist it, and they're trying to change the reality of it, and they're trying to change the story about what actually happened there. The same thing can happen with the Easter accounts. We have eyewitness accounts recorded in Scripture of the people that were there on Easter morning. They tell us what they heard. They tell us what they saw. They tell us what they struggled with as they believed the message that the angel gave them. But there are also times that people take that message that's so clear and they try and question it. They try and sit there and say, did it really happen? Did Christ really rise from the dead? Does his resurrection actually have any effect on my life? What is that resurrection reality? Well, as Easter morning dawned, the group of women that gathered together thought they understood the reality of the situation that was before them. Because they were focusing on what they had heard, and they focused on what they witnessed. And they were struggling with what they knew to be true. They knew that Christ had died. They knew that he was crucified. They knew that he cried out, "It is finished." They heard him say it as he breathed his last. And then the women watched as Jesus was taken off the cross, as he was wrapped in those linens, as he was laid in the tomb, and as that big stone was rolled across the entrance. As they left on Friday evening, and as they sat through Saturday, and then as they purchased the spices to anoint Jesus' body on Saturday evening, this was the reality. This is what they saw. This is what they witnessed. This is what they thought was true. And as they lived in this reality, filled with sorrow and filled with grief because their Lord and Savior lay in a tomb, they acted on that grief. They went out and bought those spices. They went out to prepare one last time to show their love to their Jesus. They woke up early in the morning so that they could go out and so that they could go to the tomb first thing. And they had some questions as they went. They knew the stone was there. Who was going to roll the stone away? Who was going to help us? Except when those women finally arrived at the tomb, what they thought they were going to see is not what they saw at all. The reality that they thought existed on Sunday morning was something quite different instead, because that stone was already rolled away. and the body of Jesus was missing. And the burial cloth that they had watched be placed so neatly over Jesus, it had been folded up and placed where his head was. And then there was an angel that was sitting where Jesus was supposed to be. And as they looked, they were alarmed. None of this was the way it was supposed to be. None of it fit their plan that they had for Sunday morning. But the reality that the women were now witnessing was what has actually happened. It's what actually took place. Christ had risen, just as he said. Christ was no longer in the tomb, just as he said. And when the women saw this, they were alarmed at first, because their entire world was flipped upside down. None of it fit what they expected. None of it fit their anticipation. Everything that they thought was flipped. But that's what the resurrection does. The resurrection takes everything that we thought about this world and it flips it upside down. And the angel comes and the angel helps the women put together the pieces and helps them understand what has actually taken place. Because the angel knew what they were looking for. They knew they were looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified one. And the angel knew that they were looking in the right place. This is where Jesus had been buried. But what does the angel say? He's not here. He's risen. Look at the place where they laid him. The angel emphasized the fact that Jesus was doing exactly what he said he would do, exactly what they should have expected. And now the women were to take the reality of this resurrection, and they were to not only believe it themselves, but they were to take it with them and share it with the disciples, that the disciples might understand what has happened as well. The women abandoned their spices in the garden. They went to tell the disciples what had happened. They were astonished by the news, even as they were scared, even as they tried to sort out everything that was going on. And as they go, the women are trapped in a kind of a middle ground. Because on the one hand, they were trapped because they had woken up expecting Jesus to be dead. And they were still filled with sorrow and they were still filled with grief even as the news came to them. They were still trying to process what they had seen and what they had heard. At the same time, they're overjoyed. They're overjoyed because they saw the news that their Savior is alive. And they heard the message of the angel. And so as they go to tell the disciples, on the one hand, they're afraid. They're trying to process all this. They're trying to put it all together. But at the same time, they're rejoicing. Rejoicing at the news that they've received. We can find ourselves in that same middle ground. Because we know that Jesus is alive. We know that he is reigning on his throne. And yet it doesn't always look like that in our life. Even though Jesus has won a victory over sin and over death and over the power of the devil, we can still look into the world and it seems like our enemy is still alive and still well. And sometimes it even seems like our enemies are gaining the upper hand. Because sin has a way of leaving that painful dent in our lives. And we live with the pain and the scars and the trouble that sins have brought into our lives. We see a world that seems to cruelly and randomly press down on people as illness strikes, or as a bridge falls, or when natural disasters hit. You can watch and you can see how evil attacks night after night in senseless violence on the news. And as you look around and you see all of these things happening and you see the enemies of God and it seems like they're winning, we also discover that the solutions to these problems that the world tosses out, those don't seem to be much of a solution either. And so if you get sick, you can look to medicine. And medicine might be able to help you, but eventually medicine grows silent. Or you can look to the keepers of the peace for safety in amongst all of the evil that you see, but there's still those times when there's no one around to help, when you don't feel safe. Or you can see the way that grief strikes and the way that it leaves that hole in the heart. And you try and fill it with something, but that grief is still there. The enemies of God want us to think that this is what's real, not the victory of Christ's resurrection. They want us to sit there and be trapped in only what we see now, without looking ahead to see the effects of Christ's resurrection. But we cannot stop right now at what we see right now and say, that's the end of the story. In reality, we need to go back to the beginning. We need to go back to the fact that God saw the pain, and God saw the illnesses, and God saw the troubles, and he saw the underlying cause beneath it all. He saw our sin, and he saw our rebellion against him. And so God sent his son to be crucified, to die, and to be placed in a tomb. He sent his son to free you from the bondage of sin and death and this world. He sent his son to forgive you. And then Christ rose, victorious over God's enemies and yours. And if sin is washed away by Christ, and it is, then the promise of his forgiveness is sealed through his resurrection. And if death has died in Christ, who rose, then death will also die in us. Because Christ, who is our head, is alive. And he will not forget us, the members of his body, in the grave. Death will die in us as well, on that last day, on the day of the resurrection, when the reality of the resurrection will be seen in full. This is the news we receive as the angel tells us Christ has been raised from the dead. Because in the face of trial and temptation, you're handed victory and triumph. In the face of the empty promises of this world, you are given the certainty of life that comes through faith in Jesus. You know the reality of the resurrection. You know the reality of the resurrection, and it is greater than anything the world can hand to you. The angel pointed the women back to the words of Jesus as they stood there alarmed and afraid and trying to figure out what was happening. He has risen, the angel said, just as he said. He will see you again, the angel says, just as he said. And so even though your day started as a day of sorrow and a day of grief, he is going to fill you with joy, just as he said. The angel gives these words to you as well and repeats them in Scripture for your benefit. Because even though you have been pointed to Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins, and even though you rejoice in the victory that comes through the resurrection of your Lord, you know that there are going to be days where the world is going to try and hide that victory from your eyes. So God, your Father, points you back to his word again and again and again. And in that word, he shows you that you can rejoice. Because in that word, he describes the victory that he has won for you. He reminds you that you can be certain that Christ lives. And because Christ lives, you also will live. And it doesn't matter how much the world tries to spin the story. And it doesn't matter how much it tries to sit there and say that it is winning. And it doesn't matter how much the world tries to change it. God assures us that his ending is the real ending. Christ died for the unrighteous. And he rose to give you life. And now you live with the result of his resurrection. You live in his forgiveness. You live with his peace. And you live in his life. And nothing can take that reality away from you. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.